A pleasure to be here, and what a privilege to be the fourth speaker. Great presentations. I think that all my all these presentations are going to be related to what I'm going to be talking about. But I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Fernandez. You just made it. Clinton Livingston, I'm not sure if he's here, and Dr. Sweet, not here, from Stoneville. He is the person that developed this technology. Carlos helped to collect the data, along with Clinton Livingston. The overall objective of what we're trying to do is somewhat similar to what Dr. French was talking about, which is develop we're more focused on precision agriculture, but phenotyping is way up in our list of priority, developing tools to assist breeders screening large number of genotypes. But precision farming is one of the main applications. We are using that ground-based system. It's not as big as Dr. French's system, but at A&M we're poor, so we use a spider. And it's slowly moving into a low-altitude flying vehicles, but with all of the regulation constraints and so on, we kind of slowing down the work in that using those vehicles. We do got a license, but 15 days after we got it, we got some observations on it, and just A&M is very conservative. The decision is not to use them until we are fully clear. This is an example of what Dr. French was talking about, and we're exploring possibilities, opportunities, and how to, you know, to help breeders develop selecting promising cultivars. And let me just give you a little background of our thinking and for the procedure that we tested in this study. And that is that we hypothesized that the efficiency of a genotype to produce carbohydrates is a function of how much light they capture and how efficient they are in assimilating this energy. What they do with it in cotton is also important, but this is a fact. And our working hypothesis here is that we think that breeding progress can be achieved by an early screening, at least, for the efficiency of a genotype to capture sunlight. Imagine that you got a solar panel, you know, the bigger the better, and how efficient is this solar panel to capture energy. Some more background information, plant height. Like Dr. French say, is a very important component of canopy architecture, light interception. As a matter of fact, the Gaussian model used this function there for years to calculate canopy light interception daily. And Dr. Marani and Joseph Efrat provided very interesting experimental evidence supporting the value of plant height to estimate canopy light interception. NDVI is a measure of reflectance in the infrared section of the waveband. And healthy, why? Because healthy green vegetation reflects well in this area. So it's a measure of how green the crops are. And we came out with this function out here, combining the two terms, plant height and NDVI, to come out with what we call canopy efficiency. Think of it, a solar panel, large, complete, capable of capturing sunlight efficiently. And to test this hypothesis, we use this monster commercial variety trial that Dr. Fromme planted before he left for Georgia. This is an extension plot. All commercial varieties are there. 40 varieties, I understand. Well, minus one that didn't make it. Replicated four times, plots 35 feet long, four rows, and we use our ground base platform out here mounted with ultrasonic sensors to measure plant height and a multispectrum sensor. This system has been widely validated, tested, and calibrated for many, many years by Dr. Sui and ourselves. So we went up and down the rows six times during the season, collecting data, and this is some of the data that we collected. At your left is plant height. The distribution is a total of 1,800 geographically referenced points. The colors are from 0 to 40. The zeros are in the alleys, up and top. If you remember, we are talking about these three blocks out here. The alleys, you can see in the middle. And then there's some missing plots in the middle of the area also, reflecting the varieties that didn't come out. And at your right is the NDVI, sign noise in a couple rows. Like Dr. French say, you got to calibrate your equipment, and this was a problem in those rows. But normally range from about, this is a closed canopy. For us, July the 3rd is a cutout. So it's a closed canopy, and purposely I selected this date, you know, to have a full canopy, as full as I can get it. And also, you know, with the crop already made to reflect in yield. Around from 0.5 to 0.7 or so. So cleaning up this data, we came out with approximately 1,400 points, and you can see the plant height ranging from about 10 to 40. Not much variability in NDVI, you know, from about 0.5 to about 0.75, from 0.6 to 0.75, but this is because it's a closed canopy. So we're looking at not much soil, but most of it plant cover. This is our canopy efficiency term. We use a simple term out there coming from the Gosling Comax program, you know, to calculate a canopy cover index. And then multiply it times NDVI to get the efficiency. And this is the data for all the 136 plots that we had. All different colors. You can see the missing plots up on top and in some other places. And looking closer, let's take that top block. Looking closer at how the data looks like, it's made out of data points, circles in this case, about a square yard or a meter. In area. It includes probably about 4 to 6 plants based on the population that we had. And you can see there that we got some plots with about 8 to 10 circles, others out here with about 4 or 5 and so on, but this is the data. And I divided purposely the scale in about 5 colors, and blue and purple are one color. All right, so how this canopy efficiency relates to yield, measure yield by our extension folks. You can see there that it's not very good. You know, and I'm not surprised of this. You can see that if we decide that we're going to select anything with about 0.6 efficiency or higher, we would pick up some good yielding varieties, but also we will miss, we will also pick some low yieldings. So we kept on looking at the data. And decided to make a table, and we're developing a software program as we look into this data to calculate all this data. And where we divided for each plot, how many red dots, how many orange, and so on, and how many total. And then use this in a regression equation to see which ones are the more important ones. And we find out that the red ones, the higher, were very significant, positive. The others were not significant, some positive, some negative. And the blue ones, the low values, were negative and significant. So we focus on those two. And here they are. You can see the positive slope of the higher yields, you know, with yield. The more red dots in a plot, the higher the yield. This will be the higher the canopy efficiency, the higher the yield. And the more blue dots, the lower the yield. Okay, so we came out with several strategies for selection. And just for your information, the original population had 136 entries. We're treating everything like now with replications, but as entries. The maximum yield was 1,389 pounds. The mean was 1,006. And the lowest was 792. All right. What will happen if we eliminate the blue dots? End up with 74 points, 74 entries. The yield, the maximum, we kept the maximum. We identified that maximum. But the average only increased by a few pounds. You know, not much progress that we would have made by that approaching selection, and our minimum, the same thing. All right, let's keep our highest values. End up with 59 plots, kept our higher individuals. Again, our progress, the mean didn't increase much, and our maximum, minimum, somewhat. Well, and then the strategy was, what if we first said eliminate the blue ones and then go to those 74 individuals and pick the ones that got red? Only red dots. The more, the better. In this case, we end up with 29 individuals, maintain the high, increase our mean by about 10%, and then we eliminated a lot of bad genotypes. So for the time being, this is how we're exploring this technology. This is what is our best approach. And developing the software now to go into selecting those genotypes. If you're interested, these are the list of the genotypes that made it. These are 29 genotypes. The ones in green are genotypes that happened twice. And there's an interesting, I don't like to say brand, but phytogen 499 that happened five times in different versions, different backgrounds. So that seems to be a good one. It was out of 136 plots was selected by this simple procedure, machine procedure, five times. We think that we can do better by using things like what Dr. French was talking about, more sensors. We are experimenting with LiDAR sensors and other sensors that we use in this study, but we didn't use it for the evaluation. I think we can get a very good idea of plant population. We can count plants. Of course, stress indexes, a little more complicated, but it's possible to use it. And we do have the equipment out there to measure canopy, air temperature, and vapor pressure deficit mounted on the tractor. These two variables are very, very interesting and exciting. Growth rate and changes in NDVI between one measurement and the other. You know, so I think if we use this growth rate geographically distributed, and use it to select varieties, it will help a lot. With LiDAR and digital camera, I might be a little bit ahead of my times, ahead of the facts. We think that we can calculate knots about white flower and distribute and display it geographically. We're experimenting with that, and at least we can see the blooms moving up to the canopy from a sequence of measurements. Number for sure. With some modeling that we're going to do with Dr. Fernandez, we might get into that. A combination of modeling, and then, like Dr. French say, you know, white balls are very easy to see, and I think that is a low-hanging fruit. Summary and recommendations. We found that remote sensing technology can help breeders. We think that will help breeders in selecting desirable genotypes. It will allow to do a large screening, high throughput genotyping. Development of hardware is way ahead of evaluation of data processing. The engineers like Dr. French and Dr. Sui are being much more effective than us in analyzing and making sense of this data. So this is an area that we need to focus on. And then, you know, recommend for the time being on tractor-mounted sensors, select the right sensors and develop the visualization tools, you know, to make sense of this data. They're way ahead of everything. And like Dr. French indicated and demonstrated in his presentation, multidisciplinary teams are definitely needed. Thank you. Oh, good. 45 seconds.